Theatre Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings, good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, depending on what point on this revolving globe, this bauble, illuminated in the sunlight. But for how long, we might say. Here we are, it's November 25th, 2012. This is, we're getting close to that big old zero point. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen. Everybody's feeling strange, I have to say. Everybody's feeling very weird at the moment. That's the dominating description of how people feel at the moment when I've been speaking to people. So, one of the... everybody all right? One of the ways of coping with this incoming energy is to remain in balance. And one of the ways of remaining in balance is to have a balanced environment so that all the energy flows go in the correct way and there's not too much turbulence or like a reservoir, your energy fills up in a space and is like a reservoir of energy. To speak about this tonight, I am very pleased to be joined by Mei Li Havas, and also Olivia Valencia, who are going to be joining me, or are joining me right now, from the west coast of America. It's a long way. It's one third of the way around the planet, 8 hours difference. And yet here we are in this revolving planet. Who knows what direction it's going to revolve next week. But anyway, so first I'd like to introduce Mei Li. And Mei Li, would you like to... just remind me of kind of where you're at. You run a feng shui business, don't you?
First of all, JP, I want to thank you for having me on your show, and thank you, Olivia, for being here with me as well. Actually, I run a free website that teaches people how to reconnect back to Mother Earth, and it's through the process of using the tools of feng shui. So that is why I'm here, just to help people reconnect back into what is happening with our planet at this time.
That's great. So maybe if people might want to refer to it. So do you want to give the website name out again?
It's called newworldfengshui.com. And there's also a Facebook page called New World Feng Shui. And the reason why I actually chose the word New World, because I really was trying to pick my brains of why I wanted to use that word. It's because we're coming into a new phase in our existence, and everyone's talking about these new energies, new lives, new ways of thinking. So it's really the new world.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, so that's newworldfengshui. How's it
U-I.
Go?
UI. Huh? UI.
UI.com.
.com, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, wow, wow.
Long word.
Wow, wow, wow. There we go.
Yes.
So that's good. It's good. Yes, Olivia's here also. Greetings, Olivia. You're here as mermaid support, and you also have energy work that you do in your sort of one of your professional careers.
I'm I don't. Well, I guess so. If you look at it from another world perspective,
information is energy.
Yeah, that's true.
You have a lot of knowledge that most of us don't have, Olivia. That you are able to share it with us in a way that we can understand it.
Yeah. And it often happens as you know, it's triggered. So I understand why you don't want to talk about, because there's nothing to talk about yet. So, if you're happy to.
I'm nervous. I don't know why.
That's okay. That's okay. If you just swim around the tank and,
Oh, you're so funny.
I'll swim with the dolphins.
That's right. Okay.
I have you ever seen the Chris Isaak show?
No.
Do you know who Chris Isaak was?
Yes.
Is? You know, he was the guy who sang "Whatever Kid Game You Play," and he did this TV show, and in it, it's pretty bizarre. It's like a kind of vague rock and roll sitcom, very glitzy. I think it's a brilliant show. I don't know if you can ever see it. Anyway, in this show. There's a mermaid sitting, and it's a naked woman who's got this fishtail thing going, and she's laying on this big rotating bed, that is like in, it's supposed to be in part of the cafe that he's working in, but, it's a stage set. And he talks to this naked mermaid, and the naked mermaid gives him advice, you know, she's like a counselor. So, there's nothing wrong with that.
I think Olivia used the mermaid because I know we're jumping ahead of the game here, but I had told her to surround herself with lots of water because between you and I, JP, as we go further into this feng shui, you and I will probably wear her out a little bit. So water will help rejuvenate her.
Yeah.
Because I'm wood. Yeah,
yes, so she's wood.
That's why I played the joke and said that I'm going to soak myself in the bathtub and I'll be a mermaid around the air.
Yes, exactly. That's the reason why she's her mermaid today.
So, to feng shui, we have heard of this thing, and, you know, as far as most Western people are concerned, it's like, you know, you rearrange your toilet and you know, you keep the lid down and you have a pot of plant and you have a mirror up there and stuff like that. It seems to the Western ear and eye and mind to be kind of, that doesn't really make sense. It, you know, it just looks superstitious. But there is a science behind it. I mean, we're discovering through quantum physics of the laws of similarity and of the actual existence of a invisible, energetic, flowing force, which we call chi.
Correct.
Which Wilhelm Reich, in the last century, called Orgon. Which practitioners of Reiki call Ki. Which people who watch Star Wars call the Force. So it's the same stuff, as far as I'm concerned. I think David Wilcock is saying it's gravity, you know, and it's the gravity as a wave, and all of that stuff. And that goes into what William Stillings is talking about. So let's go. So what we're doing here, Meili, we're saying, okay, as far as Ever Beyond is concerned, there is a scientific basis behind this. It's real. It doesn't need to be proved. It just needs to be demonstrated. So from that point of view, would you like to speak about how you work?
Is she still on the air?
Oh, she's gone boing. How about that? That was such a... Hang on, I'll just call her back. What a great... Hey, wow. Meili, are you there?
Yeah, that was a really interesting disconnection there.
Yeah, so anyway, from the point of focusing back on that point, which is how from the standpoint of the idea...
Shoot.
Put that dog out.
Okay, well, where did I leave off that I got disconnected?
All right. Well, I was just about to ask you the question, or I just managed to form the question, which was, given the fact that there's a lot of scientific evidence that is building up, in the new scientists, in the new energies, that ki is a real thing, and from that perspective, without having to be convincing or proving anything on your part, you know, just start from the fact that yes, it works and it's real. How do you work when you do what you do? Could you lead us through? You know, like the you know somebody calls you up and say, "Hello, Meili."
Okay. Yeah. Well, the first thing I ask is their birthday, because feng shui has a little bit to do with everything. It has to do with numbers, has to do with astronomy, astrology, and of course colors and symbols, and as I said before, space and energy. So their birthday is really important to me, so especially their year. And what I do is I teach them that there are five elements to feng shui, and these elements pertain to all different types of schools as well. So there's fire, there's earth, there's metal, there's water, and wood. So by their last digit of their year, their birth, it will determine which element they resonate with the most. And then from there, we just go into what do they want from their life, and I have to go to their home, because every home, every space holds their own energy. You know, as we think about it, our home is made of all these elements. It's made of wood, stone, metal, water. And so I have to go into their home to feel the energy of what their home is about. And then I have to put them into that space so they blend and complement one another. So does that help a little bit about what I'm talking about?
Yes, and just at this moment, you know, it's coming up to winter now. A Red Admiral has just been fluttering around my room here. A Red Admiral butterfly, you know, summer butterfly. So she must have been asleep all this time. I hope she'll be all right. So anyway, if you hear a kind of fluttering noise.
Is that your pet butterfly?
I never knew I had one.
Oh.
Okay. But I appear to have one now. But it's pretty. It's lovely. A red elm.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, I think it's a sign. I think it's, you know, psyche. So, go on.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so as I go around their home or office space or even their bedroom, or land holds a lot of energy as well. I really try to pick up the energies from what's around there. And then I try to ask the client or the person questions about themselves. And I try to really have them do their own work, because I'm not here to, you know, heal them as far as they have to heal themselves. I'm not here to be their personal decorator. So I ask them to really start thinking about, like I said, what do they really want from their life? And then slowly add things or help them choose the energies that would, if I can say this very clearly, that would enlighten them or bring them up to that frequency of good things and positive flow of energy.
So you could say that people have an aspiration to be a particular way, but there are blockages in their lives, in their psyches, that expresses themselves into their house, that by moving those, you have an effect on the inner by moving the outer. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It's more what's on, what's not the going ons, but what's going in. It's everything that they're expressing does express into their everyday lifestyle. So, you know, if they're not, like for example, the most popular is prosperity and relationships. And let's say, for example, I walk in their home and I go into, which is, again, we're jumping a little too far ahead. I go into their right corner of their house through the front door. That's their relationship corner. And I see it may be their bedroom, but their bedroom is in total chaos. I mean, there's clothes on the floor. It's just really filthy. Well, and they're asking me, well, why don't I have good relationships with people, or why can I not find my loved one? Well, there you go. It's their lifestyle. It reflects on themselves as well.
Right. So, give us some more of this. You walk into the house And you know, hang on a second. I'm stepping over myself. Yeah, there's so many different subjects we can start.
Correct.
With.
Okay. Let me see. Okay. First, it's the five elements. Then, after they understand what element they relate to the most or they resonate with, for example, JP, you're a metal element because the last digit of your birthday is either a zero or one. I forgot.
It's a one. Yeah.
It's a one, and I'm a metal because my last digit is a zero. So it really goes by the last year. And Olivia, I think, is a wood because her last digit is a four. If you go on the website, you'll see these numbers.
Yes, I'm wood.
Okay.
But when I've done mine, I actually have three elements. And the only one I was missing was water, so that's why I have that extra water today. My elements.
Correct. So after I figure out their elements and they start using the colors that pertain to their elements, and also, you know, we have roommates sometimes, so we have to balance our energy with our mates or our children or whomever who's living with us. Then we choose it's called a bagua. It's B-A-G-U-A. And it's a map that's placed over the energy of the whole location. And again, it could be your home, it could be your office, your land, your room. And that tells you where all the eight life aspirations are, which is your prosperity, your recognition and fame, your relationships, your health, your creativity, knowledge, career, and mentor. So those are the eight things. This eight is a very auspicious number in feng shui.
Hmm.
So if I walk into your front door, JP, mm-hmm. the left side of your house at the very far corner is your prosperity. Now, prosperity can mean anything to you. It can mean travel. It can mean excellent health. It can mean money. It can mean whatever it does. But what's in, just out of curiosity, what's in the far left corner of your house?
Well, it's a very interesting thing you say, because as you walk into my house, where I don't have that part of the house.
Ah.
That I'm sharing a house and I'm renting a room. So where I am, for my housemate, he's in his office there. That's his office. And, you know, he is becoming more prosperous.
Ah, okay. Then where are you sleeping in that house? Are you living in the back?
I'm more or less behind the door, above the door, above that place. And there's, you know, you're going to love this. There's a toilet. Just immediately you come into the front door.
Oh, okay.
Straight across from it.
Oh, interesting. Well, then you know what? I'd have to come and start tweaking your home. that's interesting. But I always tell people, don't worry if you don't have places like your toilet's not in the right place. Mm. We could fix it. It doesn't mean you have to shut the door and never use that toilet again. All right. Who's living in the far right of your corner of your house?
Far right is on the upper floor is my bedroom, and lower floor is the kitchen.
Oh, okay, that's good. You have good relationships with people too.
Yeah, because I live above the kitchen.
And the kitchen is a very good area for socialization and food and warmth and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, actually, the kitchen here is used much more for socialization than. Well, certainly I use it more for socialization than the living room, for instance, which is actually a walk-through.
Ah, okay. So if prosperity is what you want to achieve in your relationship, then, JP, you have to probably find something, whether it's coins or something, that you put in the corners of your room. See, it's really interesting, but feng shui is not about the room itself. It's actually about the importance of the corners of the space in each room.
The corners of the space.
Correct.
Very interesting, yeah.
Far right corner, you would be very important to put something that, whenever you look at it, has an energy of prosperity to you.
Ah, right. Yeah, a friend of mine gave me some of these, a packet of tissues that have been printed with British £10 notes on them.
Ah, okay.
So, like, they're probably, you know, they probably represent money more than Chinese coins, which represent I Ching to me.
See, I'd rather have the money's probably better because that's what you need today.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't You can't really spend those I Ching coins.
No, bad exchange rate. So listen, this is where I am at the moment, but I've just been hearing about a house, and I know its layout. So you come in, it's called an old bothy, which is a stone cottage. So it's got all these bits that are kind of joined onto it, like little sheds that have been built over the years. It's quite ramshackle. When you come in, you go to the left to go into the kitchen, you go right to go to the living room.
Okay, you go to the left.
Yeah.
Well, that's not your far right up to the top.
This is a single floor house, and it's actually three rooms that are directly in a line in front of you as you're coming broadside into this building.
Okay. Well, if you ever look on the Bagua, the far left is your knowledge sector.
Yeah.
So it really depends. If you go to the website, it's kind of hard to explain without a visualizational tool.
Yeah.
You have to remember, as I repeated before, everything holds energy. That's what feng shui believes.
Mm.
So even, like you said, your house is made out of stone and wood. That is all energy.
Mm.
It's respecting the environment you're living in. I have a little short story I'd like to share with you.
Go for it.
There's this lady that I see in Mount Shasta periodically, Mount Shasta, California. And whenever we go on a hike, she always stops before we go on a hike and says thank you to the ground and asks permission to walk on that path. And I asked her, well, why do you always do that? And she says, well, you have to respect the earth. You got to respect the living things that are all around you in this world. And she says, well, you know, how would you like it if somebody walks into your home unannounced or just uninvited? And I said, well, that's true, because everything holds energy. So we have to respect what is all around us. And that includes just the ground we walk on, or the home we're living in, or the car you drive. I mean, little things like that matter as well.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because do any of you know who Michael Chekhov was?
No.
Michael Chekhov, he was a coach, and he coached Marilyn Monroe. And he taught that very strongly. And Marilyn, every time she was on a set, she always asked every element around her to work with her. And she would ask permission to do the role she was going to be doing.
That's lovely. And you know, that reminds me of the thing that I was talking, where I was talking about you earlier on the show that I recorded several months ago, just before you were about to appear on my show that was played this afternoon. That was a mind nip.
That's
but
right.
That's exactly what you're talking about. We're talking about when you want to bend a spoon, you don't try with the force of your mind to bend. You ask the spoon if it wants to bend.
Yes.
Oh, it's genius. I mean,
of course, the telekinesis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what it's all about. Like I said, there's so many different schools and ways to learn this, but it's the basics. It's just respecting and honoring what is around you.
Mm. And thank you for the Marilyn Monroe story as well.
Oh, you're welcome. There's another thing to add to that. We're in the times where if you cannot afford certain elements and you work with what you have, even if it's such a small little portion, when you connect, you sit there, meditate, and you connect with the elements, it will tell you where it wants to be in the room. It will flow. And also, if you're holding some negative chi in there and you don't have some kind of instrument, get two spoons and go to every corner and tap it. Sounds breaks away negative chi.
Is that kind of like the dowsing rods too, a little bit?
It sounds like the gunter.
Little different. Oh, what I'm hitting? No, I was actually hitting one of the spoons that I bent.
it did sound like a bent spoon.
Here, let me see here. Is that better?
Yes, it sounds like music to our ears.
Well, you know, I have a thing called a ganta, which is It's a bell on a vajra. It's made in Tibet. And you rub a stick around the edge of it, and it goes, whee!
Yeah, like that.
And that's really good for doing room. You know, I think that's what it's for. But I kind of intuitively do. It's like a kind of, it's a bit like, it sounds, you know, if it sounds like the Doctor Who sonic screwdriver. You know,
yeah.
Yes. Well, like, as Jack says, it's like ringing bells to ward off spirits.
Saying the word, in the corner will do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you know why they say corners are very auspicious? It's important to really fix the corners. It's because you're trying to round them out. We live in a square container most of the time. And if you think about it, spiders, they don't build their webs in the middle of the room. They build them in corners because there's no energy there. So yes, there won't be anything to make it, you know, fall or blow it away. So it's really important to push these corners and to round them out in our lives.
Interesting, interesting.
I always used small pieces of crystals in my corners.
Correct.
Crystals have an energy that will put a curve, an invisible curve, without you even knowing it.
Ah, that's very interesting. Thank you for that little nugget. We're having a night of nuggets, the night of the golden nugget tonight. little bits of information for everybody.
Yeah, I hope people don't get confused because we're like bouncing around, but this is really fun.
This is what we always do.
Okay.
But we encompass all the information. It's a non-linear form of communication.
This is the rounded version of our communication.
That's right. That's right. Now it's interesting. the thing you say about corners as well, is in terms of sound, you know, if you round out the corners of the room, you soften the sound, and it makes it a lot more pleasant to actually be in the room. It's effectively rounding out the room. Yeah, that's very interesting. Does there a specific meaning of each corner in each room?
Correct. Yes, there is, and those are the eight things. Those are the eight life aspirations that we talked about earlier, which is the prosperity and the health and the relationships. And yes, it is. It's important. Although if you're missing a piece of your house, then that usually tells you or the person who's living there that some of this energy will not be obtained in the house. It will have to be outside of the house. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So is that why I need a shed? Because I'm in the whole house.
I don't know, but... like, for example, people's careers, for example, they'll go, well, why is not my career in my house? Because they have one of those horseshoe houses, you know, where the house looks like a half of a square with the center cut out.
Oh, yes.
And I'll say, well, it's because your career is not to be in the house. You're going to have to work out of the house. And that's where you're meant to be. Because some people work out of their homes. But it may not be beneficial to them all the time.
Especially if they're in a horseshoe-shaped house.
You know, we subconsciously choose our locations for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, that's another good question, and also the numerology of the house has something to do with it as well. People get attracted to like 24s or.
Or 8-8.
Not just your house, but your vehicle that you drive in. If you balance it in a way where you'll never be in a serious accident as well.
Yeah, Gary the Numbers Guy will never have a car with a 4 on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll always get pulled over.
Well, you know why the 4 is considered, which I don't know if it's superstitious or not, but why 4 is considered a bad number?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it sounds like death in the Asian culture when you pronounce the word 4.
Uh-huh. Because the 13 turns into becomes a 1 when you add it up.
13 becomes a 4.
And they have a thing about the number 13 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the powers that be number.
Oh. Well, then that's another reason why they don't like the number 4.
Yeah.
So
whenever you see the 13s around you, that's them. Anyway, so this is great.
I want to go back to the word 13. Do you know what 13 in numerology actually means? Somebody who works really hard?
Yeah. It's a positive number.
Yeah,
it depends what side of the mirror you're perspecting anything, because it's also a part of a conscious of how you see things.
Okay, sorry.
And it also represents like the part of the tree of life where your DNA is being recognized. Is it at the lower of the mirror or is it the higher of the mirror? And which side do you resonate? It can be up and down. It can be side to side. So you could be east and west, or you could be north and south.
I just had to bring that up just in case anybody has their birthday on 13 or something.
Okay.
Well, when was your birthday?
People with 13.
When was your birthday, Maylee?
14th, May 14th.
14th. Ah, a 5. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lucky you. Anyway.
Well, okay. Although my 14 is a well, now we're going to numerology. My 14 is actually a karmic number, which means that in a past life I had a tendency to abuse my freedom.
Ah.
So there's some karmic numbers in there that, like a 13 is a karmic number, 14, 19, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think 16 is also a karmic number as well.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go. we get off subject here. Sorry.
That's all right. No, it's because it's all vibration, you know.
I'm none of those. But I inherited the karma from ancestors that I had to clean up. Either way,
I mean, to me, that's what light workers do. You know, we take on the karma of our ancestors and we stop
we
it in its
it.
Tracks. We take it on and nullify it inside ourselves before we can express it and pass it on.
Oh,
yeah,
gee.
I actually heard, and again, I'm going off the subject of feng shui again, but I actually heard that the oldest child, whether male or female, takes on the karmic energy of their mother or father. And if their mother or father has not finished what they have, their lessons to learn in one lifetime, then the child takes on that energy as well.
Well, then it skipped quite a few siblings, okay? Because that's not true.
Whose phone was that?
That's mine. Well, it's my housemates, as I said. This is half my house. Okay, he's answered it.
It looked like it hit my entire family.
Oh, the karmic energy?
Oh, the karmic.
Yeah.
Well, you have a very strong lineage of energy in your family, Olivia.
Yeah.
Which that I'm sure you probably talked about on another show, huh?
I've talked a little bit, not too much. It's just too much. Yeah.
Okay, well, going back to houses,
yes.
You know, I had this other thought as well. You know how we watch a lot, there's a lot of paranormal shows on television, and you know, these ghost hunters go out trying to find spirits in homes and on land and whatever. Well, that just proves to me more that how much energy is out there and how much these spirit beings after death come back to their old houses or come back to the building or the land that they died on. I mean, does that little kind of tell you a little bit about how much energy these places hold?
Exactly. They said that sense of home. And so let's talk about that. You know, you might want a house, for instance, where you don't want loads of people coming around. You might want to write a book or write an album or make an art piece or something like that. And you don't want to be disturbed. Are there ways of choosing a house in such a thing that, you know, people kind of pass you by? You might not want to be disturbed.
I don't want to make a joke out of this, but yeah, you can go live far, far away out of the city. You go find a piece of land that is not a soul around you. Acres.
An iron gate with high bushes.
And the razor wire fence, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing about the firstborn, that really, that tickled the chat room here. So that was
good.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
Dolly didn't like that at all, that she was the oldest. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, so Three Sovereigns, another firstborn too. Yeah, well, there's a lot of pioneers here. I think, you know, people who listen to this radio station and these rebroadcasts, these, you know, we're looking at the forefront of spiritual thinking, going, you know, we're already assuming that all the groundwork has been done, that everybody knows that, you know, there is such a thing as chi, that it is a form of gravity and it's a form of the force, you know, that's like the science part of it done. There's the general acceptance part of it. It's coming, it's been moving for a long time. People are accepting more and more that acupuncture works. You know, how does sticking needles it? Well, there is a substructure behind the human body and the etheric structure and the electrical connections and all that, blah, 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 blah. And so we're getting to the point where we're almost able to prove God and the angels are real as scientific facts. And I think this is a very exciting time.
Well, you know, I started practicing feng shui 20 years ago because, you know, we all have our ups and downs in life. I mean, that's part of living, I guess. And I was really looking for something to help me spiritually to, you know, maybe lead me down a better path. And feng shui just kind of popped up to me. And I'm pretty skeptical. I mean, I'm the kind of person, I have to see it to believe it. I'm not one just to say, oh, okay, practice it and see what happens. So the fact that I've been still doing it for 20 years, it for me, it really works. But it also opened up many doors as far as seeing in the other realms now that we're going in that direction. You know, okay, I mean, Olivia knows. I mean, I show her all my pictures and everything. It just opened me up to all the different universal energy out there besides just our own energy here.
So, we have a question from the chat room. Are you ready?
Yes.
Is Olivia or Meili familiar with how Shimenawa and Shide, like found in Shinto shrines, affect feng shui in a room? Do you know what Shimenawa and Shide are?
No.
All right.
I would like that. I would like her.
It sounds like something I read before, but I don't remember the meaning behind it. Can you explain it to us? And then maybe we can answer.
Yes. Jack, if you could, obviously, by the response to the question, no, they're not familiar with Germany. Maybe we need to, find somebody who's, dead into Shinto. That means a hard path, doesn't it? Shinto.
A hard path?
Yeah.
A hard path.
Yes. There's the Japanese Buddhism, stream. Anyway, so meanwhile,
this has to do with also with the labyrinths on the planet.
Ah, oh,
about
yes.
Moving obstacles.
Shide is twisted paper that looks like a zigzag.
Yes, I do know.
Ah,
that's what they were giving me the images before we came on the air.
Ah, very good.
Okay,
all right.
Yes, in ancient times. When you were speaking about battles earlier, Meili, before we came on the air, it was the Siths against the dragons. They were here, these tribes that were here that, when they got into battles about the cheese, about separating, humanity away from, the real truth of the magic that was here, they put in these mazes, and these mazes created these blocks. And I being told they're still there. And a lot of it is underground in mountains located in, hold on. I don't know how to say that word. But it's in China. It is in China, and part of it connects with, okay, say Hong Kong, part of Hong Kong and part of China, some location.
Well, that would be a good reason why they'd have a colony, Hong Kong, you know, there's a sort of British colony. And so is there some kind of stargate there?
Oh, there's gates everywhere. Yeah. So, But this maze is a gate as well.
All right.
Does your listener have something to add to that?
Yeah, it's got shide is twisted paper that looks like a zigzag. Shimenawa is braided ropes that are thick at the center and get smaller at the ends. Shide are stuck into the binds at lengths. So,
those are pretty much like mazes and labyrinths.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a way of trapping bad energy, collecting bad energy.
What it was to test humanity and figuring out and untwining the puzzle, which we have. Everybody's done wonderful. Look at how, like, Maylee's talking about Feng Shui here and other people that you've had on the air talking about these subjects.
Mm. So this is interesting. Is this related to that famous Chinese finger puzzle, which is made of straw, braided straw, and you can put your fingers into it, and if you try and pull them apart, you can't get your fingers out. And the harder you try to pull apart, the stronger it grips.
Yes, I actually played that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and the way out of the puzzle is the opposite to what you keep thinking, and that's so. There's a metaphor in there, you know, that actually if you push your fingers together, then your fingers will be released. But you keep wanting to pull your fingers apart. And that's the monkey mind.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's
good. It's a monkey trap.
Good question.
So, yes. So, how do these things affect feng shui in a room?
Well, if they're positive, definitely keep them, but from what I'm listening to, it doesn't sound. Is it really positive to have these things around you? I mean, Olivia, what is the purpose of having these around?
Oh, he's got some more here. Go ahead, Olivia, and I'll read read his.
It does. It can balance, but it could also harm you.
It's kind of a reminder, isn't it?
You know what, they're pretty tough because I actually kind of experimented years back and had it in my home, and my son had committed suicide, and something in the elements in the room told me get rid of that. So it's very, like very dangerous, yeah. Certain things in Feng Shui, it's very, very, it is a dangerous tool. You have to have it right, or it can cause harm.
Well, it's like a buzz saw. You know, you can make a table, or you can saw all your fingers off.
But the thing that kept my son alive, why he didn't die, even though he attempted suicide, was that I had a wind chime in my hallway, and that wind chime was made out of wood, and it had the sun, the moon, and the stars. And that represents a mother, a nurturer. They will keep you living forever. It's about life. And he passed out right underneath that.
So they kept his spark alive.
So
yes. There's more from Jack here. My experience is when spirits come into contact with Shimenawa and Shide, they get confused. Yeah, they get caught in the vortex. And if they try to go through it, they get sucked into a vortex and propelled into the neighborhood. It's supposed to be for protection against undesired spirits. So how does something like that affect your feng shui?
Okay, well, I, first of all, don't think that... I hear my echo.
Sorry,
I don't feel that we so much should... I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend anybody. Feng Shui is not for protection. It's really for balancing your energy so you will always be at a higher frequency that you will attract. You're like a magnet. You will always attract good things into your life. Now, they do have Bagua mirrors that you can put out outside your door in the neighborhood so that anything that reflects onto your home that's not positive will project itself backwards again.
Maylee, can I say something? Sometimes that's kind of dangerous. You got to make sure there's a bush or something kind of covering part of it, because it can also reflect on your neighbor and cause harm to them.
That is absolutely correct. And also, so one of my suggestions is not to have conflicting energies into your home. I mean, I really try to help people bring beauty, joy, love, all those positive adjectives into their home, so they don't have to worry about spirits coming in and causing conflict in their families. Does that answer the question?
I think so. I think that was, we had a good crack at it.
People, I've had people tell me they dig crystals in their corners of their yards and put big crystals at the corners to keep all the bad energies away from their house.
Really?
Yes, where they actually dug holes in the corners of their, around their fence properties and put big crystals in on all four corners.
And what effect would that have?
That can kind of reverse and cause harm too.
Well, in their eyes, they're saying, well, we're radiating at a high frequency and it will keep away all bad things. Mm-hmm. So that's what they were thinking when they did it. But it's really how you feel. I mean, if he feels that this will protect him and it hasn't brought him any harm and this is what he believes in, then I'm not one to say yes or no.
Yeah, I know.
My personal feeling about the idea of protection and things like that is that as a shamanic healer, I ingest everything that comes my way as medicine. All energies are medicine. And if there's something off in me, well, then I need healing and that's all good.
Very good, JP.
So the idea of needing to protect oneself is you're only protecting yourself, you're only preventing your own edification.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. So.
How does he feel about it? You know, I'd like to actually know how he feels about it.
Yeah, he said it's a good enough question, a good enough answer to the question. Yeah, thank you. Yes. So yeah, so rather than protection, what it's really about flow. And like I was saying, you know, to be protected, you know, you take yourself out of the path where the hungry ghosts walk.
What Maylee's was talking about here is pretty much about harmonizing everything.
Yeah.
Just be in harmony. Don't think about something as good or evil. Just harmonize. Harmonize yourself, harmonize your home, harmonize everyone that enters and goes out of it, and then let it flow and continuing to go wherever the path that you go to, you know. Everybody you pass, and may it connect with them as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not telling anybody what is really right or wrong for them. It's just showing them there's other ways to see things, to view things, to act upon stuff. And that's what I inherited. It's just to basically bring about a joyous feeling for people. Go ahead.
No, go on. I was just going to say, spreading joy.
I was thinking, for example, I suggest to people, you know, don't hang things on the wall that really bring you down. I mean, I'd rather see a vacant wall or, you know, when you look around, like, I like looking around my living room right now, and everything I'm looking at, every little detail, a plate or a plant, it actually brings me up. I love what I'm looking at. So,
you know, that's a very interesting
color.
Color.
But just let me just take that down to the dark side a moment, right?
Yeah.
There was, in the 1970s, there was a fashion in Britain to have this particular painting. And it was a painting of a boy, a young boy, sort of 8 or 9, looking very poor and cold and with a great big tear on his cheek. And it's known as the crying boy painting. I'm sorry?
Yeah, you know what? I actually think I've seen that painting. Yes.
There is a legend about this picture, though. And it came from the fire services, is because the fire services kept on seeing this picture in burnt houses.
What?
That's kind of spooky.
It's a really spooky story. Spooky stories. Yeah.
JP, you're so funny.
I got the wrong one. Spooky stories. That's for the audience's benefit. I can't have both of them at the same time. Meanwhile,
it's starting to feel more like a phenomena show than a fish.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, it's like, woo!
Hidden woo woo show.
Let's go back way back in time.
But it's been a little bit of a kind of urban legend. This particular painting, was somehow bad luck. But I mean, it really just people buy things because they resonate to it. They got their own personal grief from it. People will be hanging this picture on the wall, it being a representation of that personal grief, and they regard it as a point of beauty because there's sweetness in their grief, and it gives them an excuse for their woundology to get attention. So, long story.
Well, that's funny because when I was in New Orleans, I used to love those voodoo shops, and I would walk in there. I wanted a voodoo doll so bad, just to have it at home, and I did.
Just for me, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually was told in my head, do not buy this doll and bring it back to your house. But I was so fascinated in their practices or whatever. Mm. But so fascinated that I actually went to lunch by myself in a cafe because my ex-husband was working and he was doing something else. And there's a big cemetery in the center of New Orleans, and I wanted to go in there because they have these big old tombs. I mean, they're actually so eerie, they're beautiful, like you were talking about this picture. And I was just about to step into the cemetery, and someone said, why are you going in there? I said, well, I wanted to go look. And they said, no, you don't go in there by yourself. And I went, oh, exactly. And they told me to stay out of the cemetery. But I was just about to – I was finishing my lunch, and I had just mentioned somebody, where's that cemetery? I want to go look at it. And they said, no, you don't go there. And I didn't see it. I never got to see it.
That sounds like the cemetery that they do the acid in Easy Rider. It's got these big old tombs. You've seen that one?
I never saw Easy Rider.
Okay. Anyway, you can probably get it on YouTube now. Okay. But they're all in these mausoleums and things like that, and they're taking acid. And it's a weird trip, as it happens. Pretty good. Meanwhile.
Okay. So, anyways. So your conscience or your whoever is warning you and telling you things that maybe you should do or not to do.
Yes. And it's always good to listen to that first voice.
Yes.
You know, because it goes away when your brain starts churning away and you start justifying it and oh, la, la, la. And then you find out later you should have listened to that voice in the beginning. It makes life really, really quick, doesn't it? Imagine all the things you do that you spend time thinking and cogitating about, when all you have to do is do what your intuition tells you to do straight away.
Well, what it does, it confuses me if I start thinking too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because we're fed a load of wrong information, and we become weak. So, meanwhile, gee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, talking about on that note, I was going to say that it is known that when you go against nature, that's when people, including myself, I'm putting this in this category as well. When you go against nature, you will have difficulty because right now Mother Earth, and I'm sure everyone's known about this already for years, you know, Mother Earth has moved into a higher frequency. So unless you match yourself or transform yourself to harmonize with her, life sometimes gets to be a little bumpy along the way. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. In fact, just before the show, about an hour ago, I played a track called Dimensional Attunement. And it's a really odd thing. It's all these voices going, but once you kind of allow yourself to kind of dissolve into the weirdness of it, it
sounds like a spaceship.
Yeah. From being odd, it becomes normal again. Because you've just attuned to it. So it's a very interesting process. Maybe I'll put it in the breaks, 5 minute thing. It's kind of odd, but you kind of get into it. And, so it's a hyperdimensional, traveling sound. So,
is it 432 hertz?
Yes, the female voice that you hear on it is 432.
Lovely.
And Thomas says, "What's up?"
"What's up back?"
Oh, all right. Jack says it makes you feel nauseous.
What makes you feel the sounds?
This sound that I was.
Okay.
So meanwhile, we're still looking at, when you have a client, you've taken into account their element. Do you take into account their, what about partnerships and housing, families and children and, There's so many more individual energies with that.
Okay.
And how do you stop children from messing all the stuff up? Because they're really good at that.
They're just having fun. Children are so innocent. They're just the joys of our lives, I think. Well, at least for mine is. But you have to blend all your family members together. And you have to decide who's in charge of, for example, the prosperity. And usually the one that you want to help in that area is the one who's paying the bills. So you're going to want to enhance that area for that particular person who's doing that. Now, let's say, God forbid, you have a grandmother who's not well and she's living with you. So you're going to want to enhance her area with health. So it's not... You don't want to fix everything. It's just not possible. But you just want to take the most important things at the moment and then tweak them, put some remedies in there, put your energy, because anytime you put your energy and focus into something, whether it's good or bad, you're going to get the result of that focus. So I forgot what I was thinking. So what I'm saying is, who's knocking?
I put my rod on the table. My crystal. Sorry. I didn't, because I had my headphones on that I didn't notice how loud it was. I'm sorry.
Okay. So anyways, you have to balance every person, and the children also will balance the parents. Would you like me to give you an example?
Oh, absolutely. This is where we're at. It's how you get, we're all about solutions here.
Oh yeah. Okay. So let me just, and then Olivia, you can pipe in. Let's say I'm metal and my boyfriend's water and his son is fire. Just for example. Well, water puts out fire. So you don't want to too much going on between them. So between them, you're going to have to calm that energy, which is wood, because water feeds wood and wood feeds fire. Now fire melts metal. So that person, and there's nothing better or worse. These are just elements, then it's just their terminology. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's rock, so paper, metal, scissors.
Correct. So metal, that's a perfect example. Metal burns and melts. I'm sorry, fire melts metal. So in between fire and metal, you would have to have earth, because the order is fire is volcanic. When volcanic lava cools, it turns into ash, which turns into earth. And this is a cycle of life. And then earth produces minerals. When minerals evaporate, it turns into water. When water feeds the ground, it turns into wood, and wood feeds fire. So that's the positive cycle of life.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes. And the opposite is water puts out fire, fire melts metal, earth absorbs water, and wood burns earth.
Right. So this is sounding like the cycle of fifths, but anyway, go on.
Yeah, okay. So what I was trying to say is, so if the person who's fire and water, they would have to put elements in their home, which would be a lot of wood to produce the energy for the fire and to calm the water from putting out the fire. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And we're right on the point of taking a break. So if you want to go and refresh your cups or your glasses or crack open a new bottle, let's do that. I'm going to play that Dimensional Attunement. It's odd, but it'll give us 5 minutes and 47 seconds to reorient ourselves, get back into the flow, and I'll shut up and I'll see you in 5 minutes' time.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Ever Beyond. Yes, it is. We are in a new dimension. That tune was called Dimensional Attunement by Tom Kenyon. And it has a very interesting effect on your beingness, your entire being. I mean, certainly the first time I heard it this afternoon, it was like somebody had picked me up and shaking me like a fish. You know, like waves of vibration, you know, like literally I was being picked up by my feet and shaken like a fish. So there were waves going down my body. Except I was sitting in a chair, you know, it was going the other way. But anyway, different, same thing. yeah, that's it. I love what this does to my body. So this is the very interesting little thing. So thank you very much, Tom Kenyon, for that.
Yeah, that was good.
So,
you know what it sounded like to me? I saw a documentary about how stars make their own sounds.
Oh.
Yes.
That's what it sounded like space making all their different sounds and movements.
Jack is eating. Else? Sorry, just as you said, Jack is eating fish now.
Oh gosh!
Today has been a day of synchronicities like these all afternoon.
That's funny.
Synchronicities. So
Olivia had something to say too.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes, about balancing. Sometimes it's difficult to balance the entire family. I've always worked with self chakras. And when we use the primary and the secondary colors to balance ourselves, as well as the family, having these colors in your home, it helps the entire family. And also intaking certain foods with these primary and secondary colors actually helps the mind, the body, and the spirit, and your conscious.
So, can you give us an idea of some of the color combinations? Or
like the primary colors, the first one would be blue, yellow, and red.
Mm-hmm.
An apple is good. Apple's good. Yellow, a banana, lemons, the citrus.
Mm-hmm.
And blue, blueberries.
So a purpley blue. Very high frequency.
A purpley blue would be, yes, grapes.
Mm.
And then the secondary colors would be green, and again, greens. And orange. Oranges also are citrus. But it's the second level. And then indigo, like purple.
Mm-hmm.
And that also... What's like grapes can be considered like purple, and certain vegetables have green with purple in it.
Mm-hmm.
And beets.
Yeah, beetroot is a very interesting color, isn't it? It's like
yes,
that's the color of the Tibetan robes.
Sangre.
Yeah.
Well, did you know that changing a color is one of the easiest and fastest way to shift your energy?
Yes.
So, tell us about that, Maylee. Give us an example, for instance, of various moods that you want to change from and to, and what kind of color you'd use for that.
Okay, well, I've mentioned this before on my website, that purple and orange are universal colors. They're very high spiritual colors. So those are just, I would say, divine colors that anyone can use. But when you're working with the elements, which also have to deal with your internal organs, for example, the fire elements, which anybody with the ending of 6 and 7 as the last digit of their birthday, is the heart energy, and that has to do with red. And I'm just going to go through the list really fast so anybody who's curious. Earth is 8 and 9, anybody with the last digits of 8 and 9, and that has to do with the stomach, has to do with the yellows. The metal energies are 0 and 1, that relates to the lungs, and that has to do with white, gray, gold, metallic silvers. Water has to do with 2 and 3, has kidneys, blue and black colors. Wood is 4 and 5, which correlates with the liver, and that has to relate with green and brown. So if you're any one of these elements, your strongest colors will be, for example, fire is red. So any shades of red, which has purples, anything like that, would do very well. Earth tones, for earth people, metals, white, for you and JP and I, white is really good for us. Gray, you know, wrought irons, anything that has metal in it is good for us. Water is for blue and black, any shades of blue and blacks, and wood is any shades of green and brown. So the reason why I mention that is because they do affect our moods and our emotions and how they relate to the earth energies.
That's interesting. Sorry, I got a piece of chocolate in my mouth.
You said that very well. Thank you.
Beautiful. Really quickly, is there a diagram?
Yes.
I need a picture. I mean, you rattled that off and it was like, oh, I hope there's a picture.
Oh, there's a picture on the website. A lot of this is visualization. And once you understand the principles and the memorize these elements, it becomes your way of life. It's your everyday living. You just kind of go, oh, you know, I think I need a piece of, I like that wrought iron table. That would work well in my home because I'm a metal energy. Or, you know.
Yeah, so how does, so, for instance, metal energy, how does that relate to numerology? Is there a metal combination of numbers?
Well, I'm assuming it would be probably 0 to 1. I don't know.
You don't know, right, okay, don't worry.
No.
Don't add there, you know. Am I taking calls? You can call me on my Skype phone, Skype number. Actually, just message me and I can pull you in. So I can pull the message in if you want to come in on a call. Or you can call in on 775-657-5973. That's 775-657-5973. Don't forget the donate button. Don't forget the donate button on everbeyond.info. Poor little Jeremy. Yes, yes, of course you can call him, and it would be lovely to take some calls. And well, basically, Maylie has her angle, but like we were saying before, you know, it would be better if Maylie answered the questions. Let's put it that way. But we can add it.
JP, I actually looked into numerology and feng shui, and I started studying it, and I got a little confused because everybody has their own different ways of viewing things, and numerology on its own is an art and a science.
Yes. Yes.
And if you don't really master that knowledge, it's hard to blend in it with other things because then everybody has conflicting ideas. So I've sort of left the numerology separate from this.
I was talking with this great numerologist, Gary the Numbers Guy, and he says, the only point of being a numerologist is if you're a 7. if you're not a 7, don't bother, you know. And that Pythagoras only let 7s into his school, you know. So, and you being a 5 and me being a 9. And Olivia, what are you? When's your birthday?
I'm a 1.
You're a 1. Well, you are a 1. Definitely a 1.
Shut up.
So yes, you can call in using Skype, and I'm sure I've got you on my my list, Dale. But let me check that, and we'll see. I'm presuming that Dale is. No, I don't. It's a call into the thing. Call into the phone line. We have one. Use it. Use it, people. But where were we? So, when we're looking at ways of, like, we have a blueprint. You know, we have our ideal, our best thing. And like we were saying before with Olivia, you help to remove the blocks that prevent you from being the greatest person that you could be. What other things would manifest that would be helped by the use of feng shui?
I'm just kind of stalling here. What do you mean by help? I think it just creates an energy that makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm going to is like we're saying, you know, certain, you know, your messy room represents some kind of chaos in your life, and that would represent some kind of some kind of thing that was holding you back.
Okay, your wardrobe, the jewelry you wear. It makes a difference.
Yes.
If anybody is into gemology, you know, crystals play an aspect as part of who you are and your sign and part of the feng shui as well. If you're a woman and you wear makeup, the type of makeup you use, the colors you use, you apply also makes a difference. The color of your hair, that you dye it. If it's natural, then it's okay. But if it's not natural and you dye it all the time, it does make a difference with the colors you're perceiving on yourself and what you're wearing.
Excellent.
And it's also, it depends. People camouflage their true selves.
No, please close this call. Please close that call. I'm sorry, Meli, are you still there?
Hello?
Sorry about that. Somebody called in and blocked the call. I will stop them and leave those alone. Leave that thing alone. And where's he gone now? Yes, there it is. Right. So I'm going to bring Dale in. There we go. Oh, then he's dropped away. What happened? Come on, Dale.
Just a quick sec.
Who's in charge here? Add people to the call. Come on, Dale. Maybe it won't let me... Oh, I thought it would. But anyway. Okay, I'll try again. No, he does. All right, okay. All right. There. Right, now you're online. Now I can bring you in. Dale. Ah, now it's ringing. Dale, there you are. Hello.
Hello.
Greetings.
Hi, Dale.
Hi, Dale.
Hey, gang. Wow, I've been listening since the beginning, and I'm the last year of my birth ends in 5, which means I'm a wood. And I am surrounded, you said my colors were green and brown. Well, I am surrounded with, I would say, mid-grade brown, like a neutral brown wood paneling. I got two elements, wood and brown, surrounding me.
Is your girlfriend called Teresa?
No.
Teresa Brown?
No, Teresa. No girlfriend.
She's not Teresa Brown. No, all right.
Sorry.
I couldn't resist it.
Okay. So, Dale, you're a wood energy, so you should have lots of water around you, too, which is blues and blacks mixed in with your... And also, do you live around a lot of trees and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's good for you. So how do you feel?
I actually feel very comfortable here. It's very temperature-wise, climate-wise, and I also have, I guess, I don't know if you would call it burgundy drapes. I live in an RV.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's quite dated, but, you know, it's still in good shape. What's that?
How about putting blue drapes up instead to energize you a little bit? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, blue drapes. Yeah, the burgundy, I think, isn't a good fit.
Well, I'm just asking. The reason I'm saying put water elements in, like a fountain or running water or something, because that will actually enliven you, make you feel better. It will bring energy to you.
Well, it's funny you mention it, but I've always been... I spent the last 26 years in Florida around water, and I do take to water. I am very connected to water, and that is an element I'm missing here. I'd love to have a pool, but
you must be suffocating.
Well, a fountain would be okay.
Yeah, I'd find something, I'm sure, online to have running here, kind of give that trickling water effect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's funny, Dale, you say that because I am too, because I'm a wood sign. I always, my whole life, I have to be next to water. I live close to the beach. And water, wherever water. I move, I need to be around water. If it's a lake, a stream, whatever, it has to be water around me. Or I just start to get very fatigued.
Yeah. And it's funny you mention that, lady, because you and I have been working on my, you know, you and I have been working together with my web, building the website, and I'm stuck between the colors of, what was it, violet bubbles?
You know what? Here's your girl, Maylee. She's great with the websites.
Oh, yeah. I'm struggling between a background scene that is water. I mean, it's ocean, like beach water, mm-hmm. blue, and the other one is, it has a backdrop. It's violet or purple color. It's more like a violet with, looks like orbs, but they call it a bubble.
What are your, what's your website about?
I produce, Lumerian crystal headbands.
Oh, then you need the blue. You need water.
Okay.
Water.
I've been going back and forth with it, so thank you.
Yeah, definitely water.
Think about changing it.
Well, how do you feel, Olivia?
The water too, because that one, when he put up the last one that had these little like orb looking, it was overkilling the product and the name and stuff. And then I went, okay, go back to the first one and then try to figure it out. And the first one was about water. And I already asked him to put something less in the background due to if somebody wants to search and they're on you know, like an iPod or something, and sometimes it slows it down when you have too much images and the resolution, if it's too high, it gets harder for one to be able to go into the site.
Dale, are you familiar? You talk about Lemurian crystals. Are you familiar with Mount Shasta?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know what? Just to boost that website a little bit, I would put the Mount Shasta.
And one of his sites, I kind of noticed he does have somebody on there that's actually that helps represent his products, mm-hmm. and they are from Mount Shasta.
Yeah, the Lemurian, you know, the Telosian Lemurian crystals are, well, you know, the Telosians in Mount Shasta are Lemurians.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, I didn't want to make that the topic of the show because this is JP's show. That could be another topic, but yeah, that's where these headbands originated from.
Yeah,
or
I agree.
Or the Lemurian, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah, but, that's
yeah. I mean, you can publicize your headband.
Yeah.
Go on, let it out.
No, the reason why I said it is because my feelings when you were talking, that's, I saw it. I mean, I could actually visualize the whole thing, and that's what I saw.
Okay.
For you. Yeah.
Oh, it does look much better.
Yeah, definitely. The energy is really there.
If you have that, don't give the website out yet, but if you've got Olivia, I've just refreshed it. See what you think.
Never
mind. We'll talk about it later.
It's okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that was a good question. That was a good question. Oh. Thank you.
All right. Well, I will just mute myself here if I may be permitted to listen in.
Oh, please. Yes.
All right.
Who's this other caller?
Oh,
you have another caller? Hello?
Yes, hello.
JP? Oh, hi. Who am I speaking with?
I don't know. What happened to JP?
He's still on there. He probably has himself on mute.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. I was blethering away. Area code 979, Thomas Hughes. You can't get away with that.
I snuck in there. Oh my god! I snuck in. I'm sorry. Look, I don't want to disturb the show or the.
Don't worry, you've already disturbed it.
I'm trying to add to your show. Okay. And what I wanted to put out there, was yesterday on November 24th. Dr. Melba Ketchum and a team of scientists, they issued a public statement to the media, and it says, scientists can verify that their five-year-long DNA study currently under peer review confirms the existence of a novel hominid hybrid species commonly called Bigfoot or Sasquatch living in North America. Researchers' extensive DNA sequencing suggests that a legendary Sasquatch is a human relative that arose approximately 15,000 years ago as a hybrid cross of modern Homo sapiens with an unknown primate species. So while they're very distorted in this, at least they're going forward, and it's out there now. And I just wanted to call and put that out there for you guys, because I know you've been... Mei Lee wrote an article about it, so sort of the comment thought I'd share that with
you. I know you're very excited about that. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah, I did write an article for Thomas about the Sasquatch, and it was very fascinating.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I'm gonna hang up, and thank you, JP, for taking the call, and carry on with the show. Feng Shui!
Yes. Thanks, Thomas. It's nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. Bye.
So, I'm looking at Dale's website here, and he's got lots of water there to go with the metal. Hang on, doesn't water rust metal?
He's wood.
He's wood.
Yeah, keep that website under wraps, please. Don't let that out yet. It's not ready.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at it. And,
no, he's wood, so water helps wood. Yeah. But metal helps water. But yes, metal does rust water, but it's only because if you neglect it and you don't take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And so this design is according to Zara. Is that correct? Zora? Dale?
Yes. It was given to his son.
Yes, because I recognize...
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize its construction and you know, you got the 1 ounce of silver... and the crystal quartz there. Excellent. Very interesting. Yeah, so one day you'll be able to buy the copper headband that does... What does that do?
What doesn't it do?
It gets you telepathically in touch with the Hollow Earth, for a start, doesn't it?
Well, not just Hollow Earth, but it's a communication device. It's a transmitter. It's a receiver. It heightens your clairvoyance, clairessence. It's something that was used in Atlantis and Lumeria. It was brought here to Earth from the planet Mu, which is...
Anyone still there?
Are we going back to Feng Shui?
Yeah, I think we should. And I think, Mei Lee, are you still there?
Yes. I actually like the topic of the planet Mu and the Lemurians. It's a really intense, it's a really great topic. You should do a show on that.
Yeah, we'll definitely do a show on that. But
You should go on it, Mei Lee.
I love the Lemurians and the Telosians. I've had some extraterrestrial experiences up in Mount Shasta regarding them.
What happened to Dale?
He got suddenly dropped by the gods of Skype. They probably thought, right, okay, well, that's another show, and we'll do that another time. So you're perfectly right.
See, Olivia, you said it, and they dropped it.
I didn't. It wasn't me saying it, you guys.
No, it's all right. It's all right. No, you're right. Absolutely. It's fine. So here we are.
We are
talking Feng Shui, and...
I have a list. Do you ever want to know what the list of yin and yangs are?
I always get them wrong. I can never remember which one is yin and which one is yang, yang. Is there an easy way of remembering this, really?
Hi, Dale. Okay. I'm gonna give you a list. Okay. Yin is dark. It's female. It's passive. It's the moon. It's rain. It's odd numbers. It's earth.
Yin.
It's water.
Yin.
Winter.
Yin.
Cold.
Yin.
Tiger.
Yin. Right?
Now yang, yes.
Yang.
Now yang is
yang.
Light.
Yang.
Male.
Yang.
Active.
Yang.
Sun.
Yang.
Sunshine.
Yang.
even numbers, heaven, mountains, summer heat, and a dragon.
A dragon.
Dragons. Yeah. Rawr.
Dragons are young, and tigers are yin.
Are yin, yes. Yeah.
Right, so I still, it's like, because, yeah, I suppose yin is like a feminine kind of little woman voice, yin, and yang is kind of yang.
Well, actually, I learned in Tai Chi that yin is the moves that are closer to you, and the yangs are the moves that are more aggressive, like the fighter moves.
Ah, that's interesting, yeah, so.
Right,
so you have your yings and your yangs. And you have to have both?
Balance.
Yeah.
You can't have too much male, and you can't have too much female.
That's, again, what's going on right now about bringing, because it's been masculine for so long, and the female, the feminine has to come in to balance it again.
Yes. Real women have to step up. So is there a way in Feng Shui is there something that empowers the woman? You know, because probably, geomantically, women have been disempowered by the feng shui and geomancy that has been going on for the last God knows how many thousands of years.
I think it's women are too passive. I think it's now women are becoming stronger. It's just way the technology, the way of life. I mean, women are starting to, women are pretty much standing up to whatever is going on around them. They don't need anybody to take care of them anymore like they used to. They can earn their own living. They are just as intelligent. They're nurturing. They're caring. Not that men aren't, but women are just as equally capable as men are now today. Right, Olivia?
I'm going to keep my opinion to myself.
No, share.
Okay. Jesus, I don't know how to explain it. That's why I'm going to keep it to myself. Let's see. I guess like in the 50s and early 60s and even in the beginning of the 1900s, women stayed home and took care of the children and was the housewife while the man worked outside and brought in the money. But women worked too. They still worked. They had to care of the children. They had to clean the house. They had to go shopping. They had to provide meals. That was the balance. It's not balanced anymore. Women and men are working outside. Who's taking care of the children?
Well, that's true.
Somebody else's. That breaks the home. It's been taken away. Your love, your passion for your family has been taken away, and you need to bring that back. I'm very proud, and I'm going to say her name. I hope you don't mind, Bonnie. I'm very proud of this woman that she has her 9-year-old at home, because she wants him to be raised and educated properly and giving him the love and affection that he needs, that she is there for him. And families need to start realizing that it's important to have the wife or the husband, whichever, you know, gender, wants to stay home and raise their family and do homeschooling, because outside the schooling hasn't been educated as correct as it used to be. And they're starting to charge for every little thing. You even have to charge for your bus. How can one afford this? That's all I have to say.
It's all upside down.
Sorry.
I just wanted to share something that is entirely relevant for a change. And it's a little insight that I had about qi earlier on this year. Now, I do this thing called applied kinesiology, which is otherwise known as muscle checking or dowsing, and I do it with with holding my index, no, my thumb and my pinky together and try and pull them apart with my other hands. And this is, it's very effective. And I discovered that through the use of Orgonite, one can affect the amount of strength in one's body. You can hold a piece of Orgonite in your hand and suddenly your chi goes right up and you can, you got a greater amount of strength. And I connected that with the idea that when I'm dowsing, if I'm connected in with something that's true, then chi will flow and therefore my hand will be strong and I can't pull my fingers apart. And if I'm not aligning with the truth, chi will not flow and therefore my fingers will come apart and I'll be weak. So the conclusion that I came to is truth makes you strong. Truth gives you chi.
Of course, yes.
So I just wanted to share that once again, because I can't imagine sharing that enough, really, because it underpins everything that's been done to humanity. We've been lied to so many times. The more truth we can have, the stronger we become. And that doesn't mean having great physical strength, like being able to pump hundreds of things, but it gives you great spiritual strength and strength to endure and patience and all that kind of good strength.
And you know, we've been talking about the female energy, and I think what it really comes down to is that we've been talking about planet Earth, Mother Earth ascending, and with her being a mother and female, it just seems only natural that the feminine energy will become stronger.
Yes.
So that's the cycle of life.
The cycle of life. Yes.
Yes.
So here's another question from Andrew. Does the feng shui have any frame of reference to the acupressure systems that use the elements and terminology similar?
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Very much so. They're exactly the same. They just relate to your body. As I was saying earlier, how the elements have to relate, like the fire relates to your heart, earth relates to your stomach, and so on. Yes, it does. Mm. Matter of fact, that's what they teach you at the Chinese medicine schools.
Yeah, because it's all a oneness, isn't it? Medicine and mathematics and geometry and physics and chemistry, they're all the same thing.
Yes, you know, as we were talking before the show, and I was just telling you that, you know, this feng shui has been around for 6,000 years. Mm. There must be a reason why it's lasted this long.
Yeah, well, it's real.
Yes.
Same
yes.
with that. And it's very interesting, this whole Lao Tzu kind of dynasty legacy thing. Because I remember we were talking about this again off air, before the show, is... I didn't relate to anybody until about the age of 21, 22, when I moved out of home and I moved into another woman's flat, and she had this book which was called Tao, T-A-O-T-E-C-H-I-N-G, Tao Te Ching. And I picked this book up and it was beautiful. It was like, had all these lovely pictures and this Chinese calligraphy and these very simple poems, and I read these poems and I thought, wow, this dude thinks just like me. It's like, you know, I finally found some sort of resonant spirit, and it was very simple, but it was profound political wisdom. You know, how to run a country is just like how you run a person. You know,
it's all... really, you know, it's pretty logical, don't you think so?
Yes, yes. And you know, we have organs, and so does government, and a country, and a world, and a planet, you know. And, you know, we know, everybody talks about the chakras of the earth. What about the organs of the earth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The lungs, the Brazil rainforest, and things like that.
Yeah.
You know? So.
That's true, because isn't Peru like the heart chakra? And, I mean, there's everything, all the chakras relate to our organs, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they relate to certain glands, and they feed into the endocrine system and all this stuff in it. So that's fascinating.
Yeah.
But so when we're talking about a house, do we look at the house as a being?
Yes. Ah. I look at the house as a life force, like a life matter.
Yeah, so it's a person.
Well, I think it is.
Not in a legal sense, but, you know, in terms of, like, you know, houses are people, too. Again, we're talking about a hylozoistic attitude. Do you know what that means?
Hyloastic? No.
Hylozoistic. Hylo means everywhere. Zo means zoo, like alive. So a hylozoistic attitude is that everything is alive.
Correct.
Everything's a being. And, you know, I was just listening to I played it on Alex Collier. He said, you know, the galaxy is an enormous being, person. It's got a mind, it's got chakras and everything. It might look like a spiral-armed galaxy to you, but it's a person to him, her, them, eh? Whatever, the collective.
Well, that's why when you move yourself into a certain location, you have to feel the energy of the location, first of all, to see if it's even adaptable to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it doesn't feel right, do not live there.
Yes, absolutely. It's you've got to have the sense of oh, I could live here.
Well, there's also, you know, I don't know if this is, like, again, superstition, but I was told that if you live in a house that's too big for you, and you don't have enough furniture or enough your energy to fill the house, the house will actually suck your energy. And people will become sick because of their homes.
Well, that's an interesting thing. See, I'm the other way. I've got so many things to do, so many different avenues of exploration. You know, I need, like, a recording studio for my music, and I need a workshop for my my metal arts as well. Yes, I make things out of metal.
Being a metal box. See? That's perfect.
You know, I like to build. I build pyramids. I make organite. You know, I've got to have a place for all these things.
So you've outlived your space.
So, yeah. And, you know, I've got like half a dozen computers here crammed into the one place. So, and going back to this this thing we were talking about before, that, you know, as you go left into the house, that's the part of the intellect, isn't it, as you were saying?
Yeah, the left to the bottom towards the door.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the house is very long and rectangular, and you're coming in broadside to it. So, as you turn left, you go into the first room, which is the kitchen. And so I was thinking of having a computer connected to the internet in the kitchen anyway. But what you're saying is sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, if you have a little area away from your eating area, you don't want to saturate your food with all this technology. But yes, if you have a little space over in your kitchen to do it, sure.
Yeah,
nice. Don't dominate the kitchen.
Yeah, just like a little laptop in the corner or a netbook, just to be connected into the higher dimension. And right, so the prosperity corner will be right in the corner of the kitchen.
No, the prosperity corner is on the very top far right, from the at the back of the house.
Top far right. Okay, but as I said, the house is only one room deep.
Oh, like a studio?
Well, what I mean is there's three rooms side by side, but they're in a line.
It depends on which the prosperity, which it's facing. Is it facing south or north or east or west? So you got to line that as well.
Walk in the house from the south, going down the hill.
You know the best thing for you to do is to send me a picture.
Yeah.
If you can do a little blueprint diagram, then I can draw. I can send it back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Email me.
Good idea. Right.
Because that's the only way I could fit. Plus, you also have a roommate. What's the last digit of your roommate's birthday year?
Is he? I think he's five.
Oh, he's wood. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, interesting. He's a member of the Green Party. Everything is green. He loves the color green. Everything's got to be green. And he also has every meal has to have something green in it.
Interesting. You know how it's interesting how people just gravitate towards their elements naturally?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because I always have to have a piece of green too, or else I get sick.
I just think it's instinctive, but some people just sometimes don't listen to themselves, so they have to be coached.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a little coaching for them, just to remind them.
It's true. It's about it's about recognizing that not everybody's the same, but using careful blending, you can keep everything in harmony. At least, you know, we don't all have to be the same. We don't have to be like a uniform, stamped-out cookie-cutter kind of reality. But we all fit together like puzzle pieces.
Well, that's where your creativity comes into play. That's why when I said at the beginning that I don't do the work for you, you do your own work. Because it's your creativity. If you're a musician and you want to put something on the wall that reminds you of something beautiful, put that on the wall. It's really a personal touch to what you want to accomplish in your life.
Mm. Wow.
How do you feel, Olivia?
I'm sorry, I zoned out.
She went 4-4-4.
Olivia, do you have water around you right now?
Yes, I do, and I'm running very low. That's probably why I zoned out.
Here's a question from Free Sovereign. Mm-hmm. What happens, or regarding my question, what happens when one doesn't have enough place for one's stuff?
Then you have to get rid of it.
Yeah, or move.
Because either move or you need to clear out the clutter or space. And sometimes I have a thing on my Facebook that says, if you don't use it, lose it. Because it's just stuff. It's just, it creates stagnant energy into your home.
Yeah.
It's true. It's just material. If you have no purpose, what's the point of having it around?
Mm. Well, the purpose is what you put.
Oh, so go on.
No, I was going to say, if you have a purpose, then use it. But if it's just sitting there and not and collecting dust, it's just an extra added piece of energy that's no longer of use.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in my situation, it's like I've been kind of sort of homeless kind of thing. I'm staying here. I've got a whole bunch of stuff that is just waiting to be unpacked into a house, but it's in, like, sitting in the barn gathering dust, as you say, on pallets. It's like this is a stopover situation, and I hope to be able to unfold myself and, yeah, get rid of a whole load of stuff that I don't need anymore. And probably a lot of it's going to smell bad, so
that's
going to go in the rocket stove.
You'll free yourself. You have to get rid of the old to bring in the new.
Mm. Yeah, I'm a recycler, you see, so I collect bits and pieces to recycle into make things out of.
Like, new stuff?
Yeah.
Well, that's good, as long as you use it or it's being used.
Yeah, it's got to keep moving. I've got a lot of projects in the back of my mind, you know, and, you know, I don't always do the radio.
But that's okay, though. At least you have a lot of interests.
Yeah. Yeah, too many really. But I'm trying to hold it all together. So essentially, if you haven't got enough space to get to deal with your stuff, throw it away or find a new place, which is why you have it. Perhaps that's why I've got a load of stuff, because I'm still looking for a place, and I'm waiting for the universe to open up to suck me into that little place, and I kind of asked for that as well, as a sort of manifestation. So it's all very good. So I would be very, very happy if you would have a look at the plan of that.
Well, right. That's quite like when I'm going to go back in the beginning. That's why I said, you know, when you start something like this, you have to ask yourself, what do you want from your life? You know, and then you go from there. You know, if you want your good health, then you're going to work on that. If you want money, you work on that. Or you want a home? Well, how are you going to get your home? You know, it's you have to really ask yourself those questions first, and then you can work on healing those areas and opening up the energy so you can acquire these things.
Mm. Interesting, and this is an interesting thing that Free Sovereign is talking. One of the reasons that he's got all this stuff is it was to be a life history. If I did something significant for the world in my lifetime, for a future historian. And that's very interesting, because I've always had this sense that, you know, people in the future are going to need to look back and see what we were doing. And I was just doing my bit, of storing my bits of history. You know, I used to keep tapes and tapes and thousands of cassettes and CDs and, you know, whatever. I would make loads of discs and stuff like that over the years. And, yeah, I've got boxes of them as well. So, yeah.
Your history are your radio shows and who you have on.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, and luckily that's being held here on Wolf Spirit Radio. And that's actually the part of the system that I built and is still running, which is the archive system. And that's kind of where I'm at as well. I'm like a historian. I store everything away, all nice and neatly date coded, if you ever need to find anything, but not keyworded. What I'd really like is if we could work out a way of keywording shows. We got loads and loads of archive, thousands of hours of archive, but there are no ways of finding, you know, something that is related to, for instance, the topic of frequency or the topic of this or the topic of that. I've done a little attempt, but that would be an interesting thing to do. If anybody out there is interested in helping build up and annotate these historical recordings that we're making, speaking to these amazing people. Like.
Olivia, you have any idea?
What?
Welcome.
I'm really running low of water.
She needs to go take a shower.
I'm really spaced out right now.
She's all dried out.
Well, I think
okay, I just took a swallow. Yeah, you did.
I told you, you have lots of water around you.
I've been drinking it constantly.
Well, you know, that's the thing about this. It all has to do with relationships with people, relationships with our earth, relationships with our stuff, relationships with animals and trees and elementals and extraterrestrials, and they go on and on and on.
Oh, yeah, speaking of animals, that's another one, a feng shui, because they are part of the family, your pets. Yes. And your plants, crystals are good for them. Pieces yes. of metal that you've held for a while while you're meditating is good to have on them too. I'm talking about plants on that part. But the crystals or a little piece of jewelry that resonates with your pet, depending on the sign too of your pet or whatever yeah. you named your pet on numerology, that will resonate the stone.
Yeah, our pets, yeah, the year the pet was born, I mean, it has the same effect on everything.
Yeah.
That's right. And I was muted. Oh. It's all right. I'm quite new here. If you wanted to be read by Meili, how do you go about that, Meili?
If
I was a person who was listening to this tape or this YouTube, and I had an inquiry or I wanted a reading, do you have a site where people can go to?
Oh, the site that I just said to you earlier, the newworldfengshui.com. But I have. Oh, sorry, I'm echoing. Okay. Olivia has some I Chings on her right now. Did you hear them?
I can hear chinging, yes. So maybe yes. They're the E's.
Yeah,
I
got the three coins here.
So if anybody wants to be read now, ask her questions off the I Chings right now.
I can do that, or I can do the dowsing rods.
Oh, my God, the dowsing rods are amazing.
Okay, hold on. Well, I know you've already experienced it, Meili.
Oh, JP, I had that dowsing rod. I'll be skeptic.
Well, you're talking.
Okay. I am such a skeptic, but Olivia brought these dowsing rods over about a year ago, and I asked some questions that nobody knew the answer to, and they came true.
So, to me, this is to do with your universal connection to chi and the ley lines and the this and that, of the connection with truth, you know, so... Mm-hmm. Just connecting with truth, you'll
So if any of your listeners out there want to ask Olivia a question, this is the best time to do it.
Okay, so while that, because there's a 2-minute delay while they're waiting for it, let's see, do I have a question?
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys were talking about, so.
Okay, so. Well, why don't you have you got a reading? Did you throw it?
I have my rods ready. They're waiting.
Okay.
I am not a psychic. I never can say that I'm a psychic. What I receive are messages from just on radio waves from the universe. And right now, since I'm really drained, the rods help me with that extra boost.
Hey, JP, ask you a question. Ask a question for yourself.
Okay. Well, would the house that I have in mind be the ideal thing for me? Will this be part of the good timeline for me?
It's slowly coming out. Yes. Yeah. It's out.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. But was there a bit of resistance there? Was there a message that came with that?
A resistance? Yes. They had to think about it because, see, we just jumped into it really fast. I didn't give it, like, out means yes. Cross in means no. Go back to neutral means straight yes. So they were kind of waiting for me to escort them on that before we began, and I didn't. I said, "You know the routine." That's what I said. So they were kind of baffled and slowly going out, and I'm going yes, and then they're going like, "Okay, this is still the same." Now they're saying a big yes. That's what they were waiting for.
Right.
But, so I'm going to ask him, what JP just asked on the question, should he stay there? Yes, out, in, for no.
What they say?
Yes. That one side said yes, the other one's moving slowly, and he's saying maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I want you to give me a layout of that house that you're planning to move into.
Sure, thank you. I'll.
Yeah, that probably help.
Ah, right. Here we go. We have a final question. I think there's another one coming in from Dave. Dave? Yeah, that's not a how question. Well, look. Dave has asked the question: how do we make Wolf Spirit Radio grow and grow, which is not the kind of question you ask for a yes and no answer.
No, it's not.
Unless you have any insights, I'll ask Dave for a reframing of that question. Always the way. But we have another one. Will humanity become positively rebalanced in the extra energies during this coming month?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a really strong yes when.
Yes.
When
they really pulled it strong over here, the rods.
Yeah. So let me just get. Yes. Definitely. Very much so, Free Sovereign. Very much so. Okay. All right. So here's Dave's question: is this house right for me? That's Dave's. Is Dave's house right for Dave?
No.
Oh. Maybe you need to move and move on.
That was a hard no.
A hard no.
What is he having problems with?
Ooh, that kind of hurt. There's something dark.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, maybe we can discuss this off the air.
Okay.
But we're coming up to the time. So I'd like to thank you very, very, very much for appearing on Ever Beyond, and Mei Li, and your website is New World Feng Shui, S-H-U-I, and Olivia you have a blog on Wolf Spirit Radio. If you go down the side, you see Olivia's blog, and there are some very interesting nuggets that are appearing there too. So do tune in next week. Who have I got next week? Let me just check. Next week on Wolf Spirit Radio on Ever Beyond, I will be having, if I can only... Oh, I've got William Stillings and Rebecca Jernigan. That should be an interesting conversation, shouldn't it?
Oh, yes, I'm going to tune into that.
So, thank you very much, ladies. And
Thank you.
I'm going to lead out with my little thingy. Ever Beyond outro, there it is. And then we'll play a bit of music. And I think there may be an impromptu show between now and then. But until then, which is Eva Moore's Evolution Show, don't forget to click the donate button. Don't forget to click the donate button on everbeyond.info. The rent's coming up. And I haven't moved in yet. So thank you very much, and good night, everybody.